Welcome to the Living Life on Purpose podcast with your host, Michael Mukunda Chandra Cohan, the founder of YourWellnessYogi.com and the Living Life on Purpose community. The Living Life on Purpose podcast is a show dedicated to inspiring people to achieve their goals and live their dreams to the highest potential. Life is short. Learn to live it on purpose. Inside all of us is a powerful spark of the divine, and yet as life's challenges grind and wear us down, many of us forget that inner spark. However, that spark never leaves us, and if we stray too far from it, we will be unhappy in our life. At Your Wellness Yogi and the Living Life on Purpose community, we are dedicated to helping you discover that inner spark in life. We offer a variety of life coaching packages that meet your needs and budget. We have group coaching, monthly mindfulness mastermind calls, and one-to-one coaching. Get started today and take advantage of our two free personal one-to-one coaching conversations by taking the Circle of Life quiz, a free life assessment tool that helps you reveal the big picture of your true dreams and paves the road for real personalized action plan to take control of your life. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/life. Before we get started, I wanted to ask you a favor, to write us an honest review of our podcast. By writing us a review, you will help raise our profile so more people can find us on iTunes. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/podcast and click on subscribe to open up in iTunes and write us a review. You can also write us a review on your device as you listen to the show by opening up the podcast app. Thank you and enjoy this week's episode, and I appreciate you listening. Welcome to another full-length episode of the Living Life on Purpose podcast. This has been a lot of fun. Right now, I am sitting in my car recording this intro before I teach yoga, the life of a yoga teacher and the life of a life coach, always in transit. Today's guest is with a good friend of mine. Her name is Kim Smith. She is a life coach, a yoga teacher, and a spiritualist. And she and I have a wonderful conversation today on how to find your boldest voice, how to overcome your inner critic, and how you can step into your own true purpose in life. This is a great episode. I had a lot of fun interviewing Kim, and I actually felt like I was one of her clients. This is a great show. This is a great episode. And now let's get on with it. Yeah, we're recording now. Let's just keep talking.
All right. This is wonderful. So, you know, it all goes to like our websites. We have to have nice websites and user-friendly with all the platforms. And please, you know, I'm tripping up on my words because I'm not the website guru or anything like that. But people think websites are going to do, and I'm going to date myself, Michael. Goes back to the yellow pages, let the fingers do your walking, do
yes,
the walking.
Yes, yes.
That's what people think with websites. They think the websites are going to go get them the business. They think the podcasts are going to go get them the business. They think the business card is going to, once they give out the business card, is going to get them the business. Those are all marketing materials, and they're all forms of our legs or voices or whatever you want to call it to our business, but we have to work it. We have to work it. And, you know, W-O-R-K, it can be a nasty four-letter word to some people. And you get to work it at your pace as the business owner. You can do H-A-R-D, hard, or whatever, or step into your heart, step into how hard you are working. I mean, I hear so many moms, which are my clients, women, they're like, I don't want to work that hard. And I'm like, then don't, you know, and they're like, well, I've got kids that are young. I'm like, don't miss out on that time. So maybe you work from 10 to 3 every day, and then when the kids go to bed, you check in, do a couple of things, log out, and go on to the next day. That is okay. But it's a lot of people are just so caught up with that social media of that shiny, flashy, white picket fence syndrome.
Oh, well, I mean, like in our field, I find two things funny, and you got to bear with me real quick. The first one is when you're a life coach and you have in your profile on Facebook that you're a life coach, somehow you get marketed by these people that literally pay for advertising saying, don't
do content marketing. Don't have a blog, don't have a podcast, don't do any of that. It's a waste of your time. Sign up for my coaching course and I'm going to teach you how to get clients. And I look at that person, I'm like, are you a life coach? No, you're a marketer trying to prey on my struggles to get me to give you money for me to build my brand.
Yep.
But every person out there that is a successful life coach, and I'm talking about the who's who of like the life coaching business, they all have a blog, they all have a podcast, they all have some sort of media platform, and they all are putting content out every day. So who's right? The random scammy advertiser on Facebook or the successful business coach or life coach that has a like blog post for 10 years? And then to follow up on that, everybody sits there and it's like, I wrote a blog and nobody read it. I wrote a blog and nobody read it. I've been writing a blog for 4 years. Ugh. I finally got my first comment on one of my blogs the other day.
Oh my God, congratulations.
Right. 4 years of writing a blog. And so I love when I look on like social media because it's this horrible addiction I have. And I see people are like, living the life of a life coach, hashtag mindfulness, hashtag public speaking. And I'm like, great, what are they doing? Let me see what they're doing. And they go to the website. They haven't written a blog in a year. They haven't posted like their a YouTube motivational video in 6 months. But they're like, I'm public speaking everywhere. And I'm like, how are you public speaking everywhere if you have no content? Because people that want you for public speaking look at your website and the content to see if you're a right fit for their event. And they just don't get it.
Yeah. Again, social media. Michael, I have a love, and I'm going to use this word, hate, even though my mindfulness is to use that word less, but I really have a love-hate relationship with the internet. Well, with social media, actually, because, you know, I just rebranded myself and I just relaunched a whole new website. I took a whole turn of, I was going down the street, metaphorically speaking, and took a right-hand turn last year, just rebranded the whole business, new website, everything, outgrew my old website. In fact, my old website I did 2 years ago just because I started blogging. And I'm not blogging right now. I was blogging. I launched it, putting a blog out 3 times a week, and then it scaled down to 1 time a week. And then now I'm just, for me to sit and write doesn't cut it for me. I'm more of the vocal girl. You know, I'm more into the voice. That's my sweet spot. That's just my sweet spot. And, I used to sit there and go, oh my God, my blog. Oh my God, my blog. Who's going to read it? Who's going to comment on it? And then I'm in these blogging Facebook groups with these amazing bloggers over in the UK, which, by the way, blogging in the UK is nothing like blogging here in the United States of America. Bloggers in the UK are up on pedestals. They are invited to events. They are brought in there. Then I'm like going, wow, I'm impressed. So I used to sit there and compare myself with that and just went, oh my gosh. But coming back around to the point of your blog, I mean, 4 years of blogging, you just got your first comment. Does not mean, Michael, that no one is reading your blog. That does not constitute that nobody has been reading your blog. We are now becoming a society of non-commenting on things. It's right. You know, it's an emoji or a thumbs up. And if you play on Instagram and you go comment on someone's story, Instagram pulls up instant little emojis. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, all I gotta do is click and I'm a happy camper. This is the society we are coming through. And that doesn't mean people don't listen to your podcast. That doesn't mean people aren't reading your blogs. That doesn't mean people aren't reading your books, reading the websites. We're not a commenting society. You got to keep at it. And consistently, you've got to keep at it. That's one of my inks of holding back about my podcast is, okay, one more thing I'm going to add to the pie. Okay, that's my inner critic. That's my hag in the attic talking to me. I can do this. I'm missing the microphone. But it's that consistency, that weekly consistency.
Well, that's something I'm going to kind of counteract with because I took a workshop with Seth Godin at the Tibetan House in New York City, maybe like a year and a half ago. And he was talking about, like, you know, writing a blog or putting up a podcast. And he's like, unless you're me and you have like, you know, 2.7 viewers a day on your website, it does not matter if you miss a month or two
yes.
your blog or your yes. if you miss a week or two in your podcast. Nobody's going to get upset. But yes. you can't go 6 months without posting.
Right.
And that took the pressure off of everything, where I could then build and write a little bit better. Because I was like, oh, I posted in December. I have no idea what I want to write about in January. I'm just not going to worry about it. Maybe the next podcast is going to go up in March. And that's great. And that's all I do now, is not worry so much about pumping it out, but rather focus on the quality of it.
Yes. I agree with you. And of course, you're right with Seth Godin and a couple of these other, you know, guys are like, you know, the original people of podcasting and all that and, you know, things like that is... they do have millions of hits coming into their podcasts and to their websites and stuff like that. Someone like myself, this is what I tell clients. Mm-hmm. You know, if you miss a week or if you need to take a week off because you're dealing with aging parents and a parent is ill, I mean, come on, because as we get older, those are some of the life unforeseen things that happen in life that we really can't plan, that God forbid a parent is going to fall. It, you know, parents age and it just is. Take that month off. Here's my big thing I tell clients too is, look, you've got already podcasts or blogs sitting there. If people want to get in front of you, they'll go pull one of those up, because the likelihood of them not even seeing it when you did market and promote it is probably pretty slim, because there's so much going on out there. We've got this platform, this thing's moving fast, and it's instant messaging. You know, so you can always come back around and pull an old podcast show and remarket it and take the pressure off yourself as well, too.
Absolutely. And to follow up on that, no one's going to notice if you miss a week or two here or there,
no.
especially in the podcasting world. No, no one's going to miss you if you don't post an instructional video on Instagram or YouTube, if you're posting every week. No one's going to be like, oh, I'm unsubscribing because they missed a week. I'm so upset. One of my favorite podcasts is Brendan Burchard, and he's one of the most irregular posters in the world. Yes. There's months when he forgets to do it. And he's just like, yeah, I've been busy. I've been doing some public speaking, and he's amazing. And I'm not like, oh, Brendan, I've unsubscribed because you missed 3 months, and I'm totally offended by you.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the other thing too, Michael. Seriously. If you or I missed a week of putting out a blog or putting out a podcast or whatever, and people start unsubscribing us, I'm going to tell you right now, they are not your ideal client and they are not your target audience if they're going to bail that fast. They're just not. They're not intentional followers and peeps that want to know and love you. They're not. A week is nothing. Now, I haven't been behind the microphone in almost 2 years. I have people saying to me, look, Kim, you're teaching women how to use their voice. We're not hearing your voice. So I'm like, okay, I got to sit up. So I need to sit up and either start doing more videos through Instagram or Facebook or, you know, whatever I choose to do, or it's time for me to launch a podcast. So I sit up, I listen, but it's been a couple of years, rightfully so.
The thing I like about podcasts for our field as like coaches is our audience has a higher intelligence ratio. More people, like the average podcaster, it has a college degree. The average podcaster, like who listens, has an income of anywhere in the U.S. between 50 and 50,000 and on up. The average podcast listener is into personal growth. The average podcast listener is health conscious and is into mindfulness and spirituality. Versus the other platforms have a larger audience base, but the quality of the individual listening in terms of market to dollars is not in line with what I do. So that's why I prefer podcasting over YouTube or Instagram Live or Facebook Live, because my audience and who I work with like listening to podcasts.
And Michael, we're going to go on for a long time here today, and I think you and I have got this amazing future partnership here. We are so like-minded. What you just said was priceless, and I mean totally priceless. let me tell you what you just sum up and what I just heard. You know your audience. Mm. You know your audience, and something probably tells me you know who your ideal client is or your ideal avatar, whatever word you want to use there, because the avatar, that client, is going to lead you to your audience. So you, Michael, are not going to jump over to YouTube, which, by the way, YouTube is the latest and craziest. I mean, YouTube's been around for a while, but man, everybody is. Are you doing YouTube? Are you doing YouTube? Are you doing YouTube? I search for you on YouTube. It would be detrimental if you were to slide over to YouTube. Not that you can't plug something here or there or take your podcasts and upload them to YouTube and have a YouTube channel, which is very doable. But then again, it's one more thing that we have to do in our pie of life, in our pie of businesses. But you, when you said, my audience listens to podcasts, that right there, and I think that's a lot of the issues that goes on out there with that shiny penny flashy object syndrome, mm-hmm. people wanting to go everywhere because they compare themselves to what's going on online. And I've done it. And they're like, oh my God, this person's over here. Oh my God, I go over here. Oh my God, if I don't go over here, they're going to forget me. Oh my gosh, over here. And I'm everywhere. I'm just every which way but loose. And when you know your ideal client and you know where that audience is, you'll stick there and you'll provide the content and you'll make it really work. And that's what you just said with your podcast, which is amazing. A lot of people have a lot to learn from you.
Well, here's the thing that people don't realize. It didn't happen overnight. When I first became a yoga teacher and I then decided to become a life coach, I was making, I don't know, $1,000 to $1,500 a month. That's what my income was, minus business expenses. I was maybe making $1,000 a month. I was eating peanut butter and jelly and ramen noodles, and I had no idea who my target audience was. I had no idea how to market. I had no idea how to get myself out there. It took 4 years to figure out where my audience is and how to connect with them. Mm-hmm. And that's about, I think, what you specialize in, which we can get right into it whenever you're ready. It's about like finding your voice and overcoming your inner critic and like getting overcoming that like imposter syndrome. So I really just think we should just shift right into what okay. you do, tell about your story, and then let's just have a great conversation from here. Because this is about you, not about me.
I wanted to take a quick break and remind you that it is never too late to make a choice and decide to make lasting changes in your life and create the life you want and learn to live life on purpose. At Your Wellness Yogi and the Living Life on Purpose community, we are dedicated to helping you discover that spark in life. We offer a variety of life coaching packages that meet your needs and budget. We have group coaching, monthly mindfulness mastermind calls, and one-to-one coaching. Get started today and take advantage of our two free personal one-to-one coaching conversations by taking the Circle Life Quiz, our free life assessment tool that helps you reveal the big picture of your true dreams and paves the road for a real personalized action plan to take control of your life. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/life.
AKA, I just named her just recently. I went through this this amazing process and named my hag in the attic. We all have an inner critic. She could be a hag. He could be a hag, whatever. I highly recommend you name them and give them a persona, not so they can grow bigger and take you down. But yes, that is the biggest, baddest, boldest voice out there is our inner critic. And I'm doing a lot of work right now with playing big on the Tara Amar. And she goes even one step further. We all need an inner mentor. And that mentor is that, actually, to me, the mentor is the real us. And those loving, kind words that we say to ourselves. I'm a big proponent of women's voices. I hear it all the time. I teach women locally how to step up on the stage of life and speak. And they all walk in and they say to me, Michael, I can't speak. And I'm like, but you're talking to me now. And, you know, I say that not to make fun of them, but to lighten it up. Because these women come in with overwhelm of fear. And they're holding back. And they're playing small, which that's what the inner critic does. It keeps us comfortable. It's our guard of life inside our head. When we go to step out of a comfort zone to grow and take the next steps to whatever our hag, our inner critic, wakes up and goes, no, 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 no. You don't deserve to walk into that room. You don't have enough degrees. Who do you think you are? You know, that's that imposter syndrome as well. All that stuff. So I'm a big proponent. I teach a lot about speaking. I teach women how to speak. But boy, we really conquer that biggest voice. So they can learn how to manage that so that voice doesn't keep managing them.
I think that's where the revolution is, personally. I think the reason why we have all this chaos and discord and infighting in the world, and for me specifically in America, is it is filled with this overabundance of masculine energy. And masculine energy is this fighting, fighting, fighting. It's I'm right and you're wrong. And if you don't believe in me, you're the enemy. And we don't need more women who take on that masculine persona. We need more women to take on that feminine persona and find their voice and share it with the world, because that's how we're going to get out of this state we're in right now. It's not up to the men, because the men are in power, and the men, including myself, are the ones causing all this chaos. And it's these women that for the last 100 years, 200 years, have been told, don't speak up. Don't share your voice. And if you are going to share your voice, don't share your authentic woman voice. Become a man, because it's a man's world. And I think that's what we need more of what you're doing. And I want to know more about that. Can you talk a little bit more into details there?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. First of all, I do teach women from the feminine side, which all both men and women have masculine and feminine energies. When women come up, and they do their 5-minute speech and eventually graduating to 10. And then, you know, we extend the minutes of all that to get them used to speaking, whether they're confident to take that confidence higher and go into a one-on-one conversation with maybe a colleague at work or a boss or maybe with a girlfriend or a significant other or, like I said, walking on a stage. It is so imperative that, first of all, women get their message out, and number two, stay out of their heads, which is the left side of the brain, which is the logic side of the brain, which is where all that fear starts kicking in. They start perspiring, they start getting nauseous, and then they start stuttering, and then that inner voice starts saying, you don't know what you're saying, you're going to sound like an idiot, keep your mouth closed. And that is a very masculine way of how our society has ran. So I teach women how to shift out of that and come on over to the feminine side. We do pre-stage rituals to help them land. And I don't like to talk a lot about, I'll give them a moment to call it fear, but I try to retrain them and say, okay, these are just energies and they're sensations. And in only to manage and work through them, drum roll please, you have to feel them. So I give them pre-stage rituals that they can implement anywhere in their life. They can implement a couple of these rituals driving down the street, walking into an appointment, whatever. And if they don't like the rituals I give them, they can come up with some of their own. And I still see a lot of them want to just, okay, I'll go. I'm going to speak. I just got to get this over with. And I'm like, no, 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 no. You're hanging the attic. Still got you. You're not going to change up those sensations to really leverage yourself to get your message and your story and your voice out there. And that really, that piece of that voice and that story and all that is so important in this busy, 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 busy social media world that we're in, trying to get our messaging out there, is to get really crystal clear on what you're saying and really get crystal clear on where you are going with the message.
Now, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, the hag in the attic is that inner critic. And I want to know why we have that struggle with that negative self-speak. Where does it come from, in your opinion? And how do we begin to overcome it in a way that we can be more positive in the world, but at the same time, understand where our negative thought patterns come from?
Oh, I think this all comes from society. It could come from something as simple as a school teacher. It could something come from something as a parent said something. It could be as young as you're out playing with friends in the front yard or the backyard or whatever, and a friend says something to you at a very early on age, and we just take this persona on. I think the biggest problem or the biggest issue we have as humans and as a society, there are no classes in school talking about the inner critic, teaching about us about the inner critic, and showing us how we can manage that inner critic so that inner critic does not control us. Because as an adult, we allow that inner critic to take on a life of its own and control us, or instead of us managing her or him. So I think this goes way back from when we're younger. We start taking on that whole persona, that whole personality of that inner critic, unbeknownst to us, especially when we're younger.
So what you're telling me is we're always going to have this inner critic. We're going to always have this voice in our head that says that we're not good enough, we're not worthy enough, we're not talented enough, that we are never going to be able to get rid of that inner critic. But what you do is you help clients learn how to overcome and talk to that inner critic and say, stay in the attic. You are not needed right now. When I need you, I'll ask you to come downstairs to help me. But for now, stay away. Is that what you do?
Basically, with a conversation a little bit softer than that, think of, I don't have children, Michael, and I don't know if you have children. So think of that teenager, you know, that 12, 13-year-old, to try and out-scream them. It's a joke. We cannot out-scream them. So if we try to scream and keep her kiboshed in the attic, she's going to come back 10 times bigger. So the dialogue needs to be, first of all, you have to feel in. And get curious with yourself when something is not going right. I don't know. Maybe you're feeling a little bit of anxiety. Maybe you're feeling a little bit of that depression. And that inner critic voice starts picking up. You just get curious as to what's going on. And here's what I like to do with mine is, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to show me? What is going on in this moment? And then I like to just sit and listen for a second and then go, oh, okay, girlfriend, I understand. I got it. I got our backs and I got it. And she settles down. Now, it's easier said than done. It takes a lot of training. Because my hag does live up in the attic. And let me tell you something. I buy her the best tequila money can buy. I buy her the best Cuban cigars that money can buy. She's got her butt on a rocking chair upstairs with the best padding from the padding store that could buy. And at any given time, she's ready to fly down my stairs. I have learned, and I'm not always successful at this. I have learned to go, okay, well, hold on. What is going on here? What's going on? And I had it this morning. I didn't know. I'm dealing with weather. I'm dealing with having to cancel classes, living in Michigan, rescheduling things. It is driving me crazy. Well, I can't flip and control the weather. So I literally had to step back this morning and go, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here? And I was able to shift and go, oh, I got it. Okay, girlfriend, thank you. I got it. And then I had to tell myself, and this is my inner mentor, is, Kim, you are doing the best that you can in the situation. And this helps me keep my anxieties down at 1 and 2 on a scale of 1 to 10. Because when I start getting towards 4 or 5, I'm in trouble. 10, I'm in the hospital. Levels 4 and 5, I'm in trouble. And I want it down lower than 4. Because I don't like the way I feel when my anxiety gets going. Because then I know the hag in the attic is going to take huge advantage and she's going to start plowing me over. So it's nice dialogues. They're soft dialogues. Being firm, being confident. And it takes repetitive. Now here's something that takes consistency and repetitiveness. And it's not going to be perfect. And it's not always going to be pretty. Sometimes it can be messy. But we'll never get rid of that hag in the attic. And quite frankly, we don't want to. Because just every time, let's say, you know, Michael, you're launching something new in your business and you're literally coming out of your comfort zone. Okay, that critic is going to jump up. You want them to. They're just looking out for the best of us. They're just trying to keep us safe and comfortable. But what happens is when we surrender to that, that's where we get in trouble.
That's interesting. I'm an initiated disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami, so I have a spiritual name, Mukunda Chandradas, and I have my birth name, Michael Cohan. And I know when I get out of my flow state, when I start to like not sleep as well at night, or I don't eat really well one day, or I kind of overextend myself with clients, and I'm running into a coaching client, and then I'm doing a private, then I'm teaching extra classes because I'm subbing for someone, and I start to get into this state of overwhelm, then that inner critic, Michael, begins to take over. I get irritable, I get impatient, I start to get judgmental, I start to complain about my life. And then I have to remember that that's not who I am, and say, okay, Michael, I know you're here, but let's talk about it for a little while. And I'll sit down, and I'll write, and I'll journal, and then I'll begin to understand the process of what's going on in my mind. At the same time, whenever I'm launching something new, like I'm doing a teacher training in April, and I start to worry about the teacher training, I recognize that that inner critic, that fear, is helping me stay motivated. So that's when I don't try to talk to Michael. I say thank you to Michael.
Yes.
So sometimes it's in gratitude, and sometimes it's in like anger. It's like, I don't need you right now. Go away. Or thank you for being here. Now you're going to make me work harder. I appreciate you. And I find when I do that, I have more control over my feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm. And you know something, Michael, that's a very good point, because for me personally, I believe you're stepping into your inner mentor. And when you say thank you, I'm very appreciative. I'm very grateful, because that inner critic would say, work harder. Go, you know, and then what happens is we start plowing through life, and then we become numb, we stop feeling.
Right.
And then that critic will engulf us even more, you know, like that big, huge gray cloud or that big, huge wet blanket, you know. So you do have both sides of the mentor that is tender, loving, and caring of Michael or anyone else out there, or the other side of that, that critic of Michael as well. There's both. There are two. And the mentor basically is us, like I said earlier. It's knowing how to tap into that and turn that on. Like for an example, okay, Michael, you're launching a brand new teacher training, brand new, brand spanking, it's your first time. You know, and the people you know, you're comfortable going in because you know some of these students, there's a couple new people in there too, because they know how great and fantastic you are. You know, but prior leading up to that, it's going, you know, I really want to launch a new teacher's training. You know, well, the critic would go, nope. Oh gosh, no, sleeping guard just woke up. I'm going to pull you on back. Really? Why would you do that? You already have 5 teachers training. Why do you want to do a 6th one? Are you kidding me? People are going to look like you're a jack of all trades, mastering none, you know, shiny, flashy, fit, you know, all the, you know, that whole shit that goes on. Whoops, I just cursed on your show.
It's
that whole,
fine.
That whole crap that goes on in your head, where the nurturing, the mentoring, Michael says, wow, I've done this before. I know I can do this again. So let's get curious. Or, you know what? Let's do what it takes to move forward, because this is my true purpose and this is what I really want to do, is this 6th teacher training or my 3rd teacher training. There's a difference. I don't know if you notice the difference. And then, because I can tell you're so filled with such beautiful gratitude, is, wow, thank you for that. Thank you. That's how we play bigger. That's how we play bolder. That's how we use our voices. Unfortunately, you and I live in a country, you and I live in a society, a world where the voice is mean. It's bullying. It keeps us small. It keeps us down. And then we leak that out of our pores towards others. It's like you said, you lack sleep, you don't eat well, you get judgmental. And then guess what? That comes out in other ways towards other people as well. You know, it's like the old adage, oxygen mask first. Self-care first with oneself, then you can serve others.
I know when I'm in my inner critic voice is when I start to judge others. When I know that. I know I'm like, wow, I'm not in my state of abundance, because when I have abundance in my life and I feel good about my life and I feel like I'm succeeding and I'm thriving, I don't judge other people. It's when I'm in that state of fear, a sense of like, I don't have enough, I need more. That's when I begin to be critical of other people and start to judge what they're doing with their life. And I know that's not the right way to be, because it never serves me. Never makes me more, I never get more business. I never get more clients. I never have more friends when I'm in that inner critic, negative voice.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's like hardening of the heart. No pun intended. Seriously, that is like, it's like putting your hands around that heart and squeezing that muscle so tightly, which leads us to dis-ease with oneself and disease. You know, that hardening of the heart, the hardening of the lungs, the chakras get clogged up, which I know mine get clogged up. My brain gets clogged up when I get into those modes. For me personally, it's like having a runaway train, and she is dragging that train like there's no tomorrow. It's like, and I can't find the brakes. I can't find the steering wheel to that train. I cannot get to that point, and I don't like being in that point, because then I start getting snippy. I start getting edgy. I lose gratitude on my just walking out of my home base office, which to be so grateful and blessed, because, you know, we're dealing with crap weather here in Michigan. I'm lucky that I can stay safely here and don't have to get in the car if I don't want to and drive, or walk down the hallway and go look at my two beautiful girls, my two black labs. When I'm in that state of flux where that hag is going at me, I look at my dogs, I look at them like, and I love my dogs. I mean, those are my children. I love them. I look at them like, they're nothing but work. And they're not. I mean, they're laying on the couch right now. They've been sleeping all afternoon. They're not. They're good dogs. And I start seeing lack and gratitude. And Michael, quite frankly, this is totally my opinion. I'll claim this. Put a claimer out on your show. My opinion, this is my opinion, these are my beliefs, is I believe that social media has ramped that up to the nth degree. Now, I'm not against social media. I'm just saying social media is just social media, everybody that's listening. It's just a screen. And one of the critics, her best friends, your inner critic's best friend, comparison. So when you start comparing, it is a total buzzkill. It's one of her best friends. Let me see. The lack of self-worth, that's her other best friend. The lack of confidence, that's her other best friend. And then we can equal all that up to self-esteem, which equals the self-estimate of ourself. And when our self-estimate of ourself is so tanked from that inner critic, she is winning.
Well, I agree with you. And I think social media and the internet needs to be evolved. Because I remember when Facebook first came out, I was in college, so I'm dating myself. And I had Facebook when I was in college. And Facebook from college and Facebook today are completely different. Facebook in college was me, my friends, and everybody having a good time, nobody judging. And it was very small. And they didn't have all these algorithms that they do today. And social media today is 100% designed to control you so you stay on Facebook or Instagram or any of these social media platforms longer, so then you can then be sold to advertisers where they make all their money. So they curate this platform for you that affects your feelings. So then you see on Facebook that you don't feel good anymore. So then you want to buy the product that's over in the right-hand corner or scrolling through your screen. And that's the whole purpose of social media. And I think people are starting to realize that about social media, that it's here to make you feel bad. So then you buy products on Facebook. And Instagram, it's the same thing.
Yes.
Twitter, I don't know. I don't really get that vibe from Twitter, because it's just 240 character hashtag. Twitter's more of a shouting match of ideas.
Yes. Yeah. That's about right. That is truly about right. So like, okay, New Year's resolutions, if you take a minute and watch any TV, you'll see how the latest and greatest phase of facts of weight loss and all of that. It's there to make you feel bad, get into the gym, lose the weight. And if you don't, you're a loser. You know, I mean, it's the same thing that the TV ads as well as, you know, on the social media. I think at the end of the day is because I work specifically with women, and doesn't mean that men aren't allowed to come through my business, but I work specifically with women, is I really want women to really step up and just speak their truth, not from a victim standpoint, not from an irresponsible standpoint, but really step in, you know, step into their courage and their bravery and their vulnerability, aka a little bit of Brene Brown there, and just speak your truth and do it on the terms that, you know, what's the one quote, you know, dance like no one's watching. Do it like everybody is listening, and do it like even if nobody's listening, but just speak it. Just speak it. They will come. Just speak it.
Now, I'm a woman or man, because you work with both, you said, and I want to overcome this negative critic, and I want to get my voice out into the world. And I have this imposter syndrome, or I have this fear of finding my own voice. And I come to you. Mm-hmm. How do I, as a person, begin to step into my own personal bold voice? And what is that bold voice?
Well, that's a little discovery there. I quite frankly, I have a couple clients right now that are going through that. And what we do is we have to sit down. We have to discover what it is that really just, quote unquote, floats their boat. What's their passion? What's the big why? What is the big why? And I have a lot of women that will say, well, I want to make six figures. And I don't back off of them at that point, but I have them dig a little deeper past the money. And at the end of the day, everyone deserves money. Don't get me wrong. We need money to pay our bills and put food on the table. I get that. But if you're being driven by money only, first of all, they're not an ideal client for me, because when we are making decisions based upon that, first of all, that is not your true authentic self. You're out of alignment. You know, it's like you and I were talking before, you know, when we were getting online here about your blog, how many years you've been blogging. If you launched or podcasting, or I had an internet radio station. Okay. Hi, I just launched my first podcast. How many downloads were there, and how many people are, you know, it's being so focused on that number, being so focused on that money, does it leads us down other wrong avenues. So I begin by, depending upon the individual, I'm not a one-stop shop coach or one-stop shop class. I get into ask, I like to know first and foremost, why? Okay, so why did you come to my class? Why are you hiring me to do coaching? What is it? And a lot of these women will finally peel back and say, I've got these dreams, and I've held back from these dreams. I've been a mom. I put my kids first. I know my dreams, I don't know if they're legitimate or not. I need help discovering if they are legitimate or not. And I need help getting these dreams and my hopes out the door. So it's that lack of confidence. And it's maybe they've been buying into society of saying, oh, you know, you got that dream. You know, go home, take care of the kids type stuff. Because, you know, you trust me, people say that stuff to other people. So we begin there, because I feel that if our why is not big enough and deep enough and plain big and bold enough, that the first eye roll you get, you're going to go wandering home. So I begin with the why, and then I take it upon the individual. If it's coaching, upon the individual, what they're feeding to me, and then we start with some very small baby steps, and that's implementing some daily self-care, because that's how we're going to overcome and manage that hag. It could be something as simple as that. And I don't want to minimize and say it's so simple, but it is. It can be very simple. So that's how I begin. Now, when they come into the classes, a lot of the women are not necessarily taking their businesses to a public stage to be a public speaker, and a lot of them are. A lot of them have TEDx on their radar, and a lot of them just want to be more confident when they're delivering conversations. And I just run with it from there.
Well, I think it's so important, because I don't know about you, but from my experience, when I first started becoming a yoga teacher and a life coach, but more when I was a yoga teacher, I would sit there and say, why should anybody work with me? Who am I to teach yoga? Because I knew all these really great yoga teachers that were really successful and very inspiring. And they were the ones who inspired me to be a yoga teacher. But I never felt like I could share my voice out there. Until I overcame that fear of not being good enough and found my own voice is when it began to work. And I think a lot of people go through that, of how to get that message out there. And then at the same time, once you start getting that message out there, I remember when I was podcasting and I interviewed a friend of mine who's a big time LA yoga teacher and a big time LA spiritual life coach. And I interviewed her and we were having a great conversation and I got a review on my podcast. Great job, but he talks too much. And at first I was going to be upset about it, but then I realized, I'm like, he wasn't upset about me talking too much. He just didn't want to hear me. He wanted to hear my friend. So yes, no matter what I did, he was going to complain because he jumped on the show because my friend promoted that she was on this podcast and he just didn't want to hear me at all. And I think people go through those struggles all the time. And I love that you help people overcome those fears.
Yes. You know, it's like face fear in the face and jump on through it. You know, well, you know, Michael, you and I could sit here and talk about a lot of that. You know, other on the other side of facing those fears or facing those sensations, facing those energies is a world of empowerment. I mean, a world of like, wow, I did this. I did this. And everybody belongs where they want to belong. They truly do. This imposter syndrome is, first of all, the imposter syndrome is being led by your inner critic, period. Case closed. The whole philosophy of a human being, the whole ground basis is the inner critic. It drives us. And like I said, we really don't want to get rid of it. But coming back to the imposter syndrome is walking into a room like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm Michael, the yoga instructor, and I'm like in this room with all these very well-known yoga instructors. I really don't deserve to be here because they've been teaching for 20 years and I've only been teaching for 20 minutes. We deserve to be there. We have every right to be there. We may not be as seasoned as them, or we may be as seasoned as them in other ways. And it's having those type of conversations with yourself and looking outside that negativity that brings us down. Everybody goes through that imposter syndrome. Everybody. And the other thing that I hear, you know, a lot of my clients will ask, well, if I'm in the imposter syndrome, I can fake it until I make it. Okay, no, 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 don't fake it until you make it. Because when you're faking it until you're making it, you're just spoon feeding your inner critic even more. Just putting on more, giving it more layers to come back at you. It's just walking in and knowing that being there could possibly be just enough, which is huge. And that because we are human beings, we do bring something to the room, to the environment, to the table. Just because it's our first yoga class or our first podcast doesn't mean we're any less than anybody else.
I agree. I'm doing this workshop this weekend on the shoulder and how, you know, how to heal the shoulder through different modalities, specifically from different standpoints, both from an Ayurvedic standpoint and a yin standpoint and a mental emotional standpoint. And my partner asked me, she was like, do you think we know enough? Do you think we're going to do a good job? And my response was, I think if for our audience that we're working with today, we're going to know more than anybody else in the room. I said, if we were doing this retreat at Omega and half the audience was physical therapists and half the audience was mindfulness psychologists, we would have to be much more credentialed. But for what we know, we are able to teach these people. And we know more than they do. And we might help one person because we're at this price point and we're affordable. And someone who is more knowledgeable than us that we studied with is three times as expensive. So we're going to help these people. And that's all that matters.
You know, at the end of the day, you're right. That is all that matters. And you have to begin somewhere. You know, it's like a baby. You know, a woman just doesn't give birth to a baby and it starts walking the next day, or it even starts crawling the next day and then to walking and stuff. You have to begin somewhere. And knowing when you're in your arena goes back to your targeted audience, the people that you and your partner are serving in the yoga arena, trust me, you may only help one person. That is life-changing. Something tells me you'll do probably more help than one person, But it's being confident with yourself and standing in your bold voice, your powerful truth of, look, this is what I'm being taught, and this is what I'm going to bring to the table. And trust me, you're not going to please everybody. There's the naysayers out there. There's the ones that, you know, walk on and go, well, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, that's because of where they are in their life. You know, so the four agreements, the second agreement is don't take things personally. The hardest thing for me personally to practice every day is, you know, some people are open. It's like some people are open. I mean, come on, Michael, how many people are you out and about in the yoga? I don't do yoga. Oh my God, I can't slow down. Or, oh my God, slow my mind down. You know, yoga, meditate. Oh, you know, it's where they are in their life right now. Doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with how you are this amazing yoga instructor or anything about yoga. It's where that person is. So if you had someone like that in your class, of course they're going to walk out and not be to the yogalinis of the yogalinis, so to speak. You know, it's where they are. It's where they are. I mean, I have women in my class that jump up after every class. I love this class. Oh my gosh, this just makes my confidence even more stronger. And then I have women that are like, okay, I've been here 2 months and I can't take it anymore. That's a tough one for me to swallow, but that's where they are at. It's not me. It's not that I'm not delivering any more or less. It's where they are at.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question because I know I want to get into this a little bit, and we're running out of time. It's been almost an hour, which just means I'm having a great time.
Oh, yes.
But I want to know two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And these are two topics that are specifically for you. My first one is, obviously, how do you overcome the fear of public speaking?
I think that question needs to be posed to Tony Robbins or Jack Canfield, even though they do it on a regular basis. I still believe they get a little off angst each time before they walk out on the stage. It's not practice. I'm going to tell you that right now. And it's not perfection. It's really stepping into those feelings, like I was saying earlier, and those sensations and how you want to leverage those sensations, getting them out of your head where the fear resides and getting them down into your body so that you can breathe and speak from the heart. That's where the bold voice all begins, is from your heart. I'm big into pre-stage rituals. I'm big into essential oils, deep breathing to help manage all those sensations and then getting on up there and not worrying about if it's absolutely perfect or not. Because trust me, it's not perfect. It's not. We're human. It's not perfect. Mm-hmm. And just getting those words out. And each time you do it, maybe the words will become more refined. I don't know. Maybe they won't. But those are some of the things to overcome that fear. Michael, I grew up on a stage. I was a very shy child, so my parents enrolled me in dance lessons, and it became my whole life. The one dance lesson a week became two, became performance, competing. It became my whole life. And still to this day, and I grew up on this stage, still to this day before I walk on a stage, I get a little bit of those, we'll call them butterflies in my stomach. It's excitement. It's emotions. It's sensations. And I just take a deep breath and say, wow, this is so cool. I can feel this. This is amazing. And I'm going to walk out there. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to pause. I'm going to look at everybody. And then I'm going to go. But that works for me. Everybody is different. I've got one client in my speaking class. She's got to go out in the hall, and she's very athletic. She's got to jog up and down the hall a little bit just to take those sensations and lower them and then come on in. Takes a couple deep breaths, and then she rocks.
Right. So I think that's great. I just want to know one thing, because for me, I find public speaking to be a lot of work, and I haven't really focused on it as a career because I just – I can't do everything. Why should I get into public speaking? How can that help my business?
Oh, well, that's going to really ramp up your visibility. It's just another leg of visibility, like your podcast, like the blogging, the public speaking. And what's beautiful about the public speaking is you're visible, you're physical, you're right there in front of an audience, and they get to basically metaphorically touch and feel you and hear you and see you. It's just another leg of ramping up visibility, another leg of getting your voice out there and getting your business out there.
So where can we find you if we want to work with you?
You can go over to my website at Kim B as in boy, KimBSmith.com, and all my social media things are over there, and you can reach out via email on a contact sheet and say, hey, Kim, peace out, rock on, or not, and go ahead and take a look at the website or not, whatever, but we'll just keep it at the website.
Perfect. All your information is on the website, guys. We're going to have that loaded up in the show notes. I really appreciate you being on the show, Kim. Any final last-minute advice that you can give our audience before we finish up the show?
Yes, absolutely. A bold voice doesn't mean you have to walk up on a public stage. A bold voice is stepping into your voice and speaking it from your truth and from your heart and not holding back and leaving opportunities on the table anymore.
Boom.
Thank you for listening to the Living Life on Purpose podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe to our show in iTunes and write us a review. By writing us a review, you will help raise our profile so more people can find us on iTunes. Links to our sponsors and other tools can be found in our show notes along with other useful information. For more information on our yoga and coaching classes, please visit our website at yourwellnessyogi.com and please sign up for our newsletter. Life is short. Learn to live it on purpose.